Welcome to the Become Nomad podcast, where you're already a nomad or aspiring to become one. We're here to supply you with relevant information to help keep you on the road until you start painting. And I'm still in Chiang Mai, my second month here. If I had to describe Chiang Mai in one word, it would be comfortable. This is an extremely comfortable place to be and to have good quality of life. A second word that comes to mind would be cheap, great value on the costs in general. What you get for what you pay is pretty amazing. And if I had to pick another word, I would surprisingly go for Bitcoin. So apparently all the digital nomads here, the backpackers and the hippies are all investors in cryptocurrency, so I'm the only one left out. Pretty sad. So that's pretty much my conclusions of Chiang Mai. The good thing about Chiang Mai is that it allows you to meet a lot of interesting people that are doing some interesting stuff. I had the opportunity to interview, and this is an interview episode that we haven't done for a very long time, so this was a live interview done in a coffee shop, in a noisy coffee shop with planes over our heads and lots of cars, but still great. I met in this coffee shop Ajong Zapla, and Ajong is a very interesting person, and we covered a lot of topics that I was interested to hear about. So I'll tell you a little bit about my main takes from the interview. The first thing that made me think a lot is this topic of losing your anchor when you make a decision to travel, because you're actually, there is no way you're making such a big decision without losing something that is very substantial in your life. In this case, it was work. I think for most of us, that would be the first thing that that comes to mind. And also dealing with how society views you as you take the plunge, something that all of us who actually do this for as a lifestyle kind of confronted. And also how you view yourself, like what's going to happen, you know, when you actually go for it. In Ajong's case, I think one more interesting thing would be finding a new anchor or a meaning. And I recommend listening to specifically to this part, because this is something that a lot of us lack. We don't have, other than traveling, which I think is not enough to sustain you as a sane, happy person, there has to be something else. And Ajong actually managed to find this thing, and that's painting. So another thing that I think we can learn a lot from. Other than that, I think it was also great for me to hear about the process of making a decision, of actually going for it, because mine was very short and kind of, I don't even remember it. It was based on two books that I read, The 4 Hours Work Week and the book about Buddha, that kind of made me say I'm going for it. But Ajong actually describes a long process of 6 months of decision making that she did together with her husband. So this was also very, very interesting part about traveling as a couple and this boiling process until a couple can reach a decision to go for it, a logical, rational decision. So that's pretty much it, and I hope you enjoy the interview. So with us today is Ajong Zapla. I gave a small introduction about you before, so okay, People will kind of know what exactly you're doing. Good to have you here. Very interesting story, so I'm excited to have you on the show. Maybe, Ajong, you can tell us a little bit about how you started as a nomad, like the story before, like how was life before the big transition?
I moved to USA in my 20s, because I fell in love with my husband.
Where from did you move?
Korea. Okay. Yeah, I'm from Korea and I moved to US. After I came to US, I worked hard. After a couple of years of working, I was able to go to school. Got my degree, my license, and I was working, and after school, we travel because it's easier out of school, you travel. The thing actually happened back in 2015. We went to Croatia for 3 weeks, and it was just amazing. We traveled before, but somehow Croatia really was the place for us. During 3 weeks, every single day, we felt like we're in heaven or something.
It's amazing. We're in Croatia. Croatia is one of my favorite countries
actually,
in the world.
Went to many cities. I have really bad memories, but Dubrovnik.
Yeah.
And we started from Zadar.
Ah, Dubrovnik. Cool.
Yeah,
north,
we went
all through the coast.
Yeah, 5 cities.
I lived in Split for 2 months.
Split, yeah, we went there 2 months?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Just, they started a co-working space when I got there 1 week before.
Oh.
So when I heard this, I said I have to stay. One of my favorite cities on the planet, Split. But I love Croatia in general.
I loved it there and my husband loved it. So anyway, we came home and my husband suggested that, hey, why don't we sell everything and just travel full time? It was a great suggestion, but it's just too good to be true, you know, who can afford it? You just travel constantly without working.
Right, and you were working at the time,
I was working at the time. So if we sell everything and just leave and travel, that means I gotta quit my job. My husband been working remotely for over 10 years. It was an excellent idea, but I was very skeptical. I didn't see anybody or heard anybody doing it before. So I didn't take it seriously when my husband suggested it first. I thought he was having kind of moment of, you know,
midlife crisis.
Yeah, midlife crisis. But then he is a pretty consistent man, so he convinced me about 6 months. Even way before we went to Croatia, he started researching about digital nomad lifestyle because he'd been working at home, and I think he got into the point like, why not? So he studied a lot, you know, for a couple of years. So he showed me how we're gonna do it, and yeah, it was great suggestion, but I was pretty skeptical, and he convinced me 6 months, and I finally said yes after he showed me substantial plans, and that's how we are here.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's great. Can you tell us a little bit of a brief, short brief about, because it's been already 2 years that you're traveling
as
a couple?
Yeah, I mean, it's been our second year now.
It's amazing. Where have you been? What are the top highlights?
Well, we started in Mexico, Playa del Carmen. We stayed there 6 months. After that, we moved to Guatemala. So we spent 1 month in Panajachel, San Marcos, 2 months. Oh, it was so beautiful. But the internet was kind of like sketchy and
yeah.
But anyway, the nature was just beautiful. I had great time there. And then after, we moved to Colombia, Cartagena.
Mm-hmm.
And we spent 3 months. And
3 months in Cartagena?
Uh-huh, three months.
Okay.
It was great. You know, everybody said, Colombia, you know, it's so dangerous.
Yeah.
But not at all. We really had fun and people are so nice. And before Chiang Mai, my best country so far is Cartagena, Colombia.
Okay.
So
it's one of my favorites as well.
Yeah.
It's amazing that we connect to the same countries, like, because in my top five, I have Croatia and Colombia.
Colombia, yeah. Those countries are great. We went back home to see family and friends, and now we are in Chiang Mai, Thailand.
Cartagena compared to Chiang Mai, which one is better?
To me, Chiang Mai, it kind of grows on me. Like, I didn't love it at first.
Mm-hmm.
My husband fell in love instantly. But like slowly, because I'm from, you know, Asia, and it was not something foreign to me.
Right.
It was not exotic to me. I love Chiang Mai here. Like, it's very artistic city because I paint and everything is nearby. And food is just amazing. I have to be on diet actually because there's so many options. I love Cartagena because I think I had a connection with people there. I took pole dance classes and I just love my dance class.
And did you connect better with the locals in Cartagena than the locals in Chiang Mai?
Yeah, I think so.
Me too. I have to say that there's something about South America in comparison to
Asia.
Is that Asia, my social circle is foreigners, usually. It's like a little bit. And in South America, I've been in Colombia for 6 months and I was trying to think about 3 tourists that I spoke with in those 6 months, and I couldn't. Like something that is more than one line or two lines. It was totally a local thing. So you also felt it a little bit,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah. Colombians are so friendly. They're fun. I'm from Asia, so maybe they're shy, or, you know, the language barrier. I don't know what it is, but I don't really have a very intimate social group here. You know what I mean?
With locals.
Yeah, with locals. I love to keep in touch with locals. I want to learn about their culture. I want to hang out with them because it's more fun when you travel. But somehow I haven't found any social groups here, but it's fine. You know, I love people here. Very friendly people, and they always smile back to you.
Right. Thai people are super welcoming.
Thai people are so friendly. And a lot of people have a stereotype of Asians. We have a, like, very flat face. We don't smile. But Thais are exception, I think. They always smile. And
Chinese people are very happy in general.
Oh,
like,
yeah?
Very alive, usually. Yes.
So, yeah, I guess it depends on personal experience. But I found that Thai people are friendly, but a different way from people from Cartagena.
So I wanted to go back to your story, to the part that basically you left your job. And the job, because a lot of our listeners, they're kind of in the phase of taking the decision. So that's why I think you're a source of inspiration, because basically you plunged into it and you're doing it for 2 years already. And I think that, like you told us, there is this part that luckily your husband is working remotely, so he can kind of take the burden financially.
It was easier, yeah.
Right? But still, I think that job is more than money. It's also something that defines us, gives us meaning, right? What do you do is who you are. And you were a therapist, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Occupational therapy assistant, yeah.
So how did you fill this void of losing who you are, in a way, or what defines you?
I completely agree with you, because maybe because of my background, where I grew up, self-worth of mine is what kind of job title I have, or social trophies.
What do people think about you?
Right, exactly. It's great opportunity for me. I travel, I paint things, I do things that I love to do. But also, I question myself, like, how am I going to fill the gap on my resume if I need to go back?
Yeah, right. You can lie, but that's what I do in my resume all the time. I fill gaps of years with lying, but okay, never mind.
At some point, I realized that I worked with a lot of sick people before. Money is not everything. Accumulating or having your social status, just being a productive member of society, it's not all about your life. There should be something more than that. So I was thinking about that, and then my husband was external pusher, let's go and have a different lifestyle. So after we left, all I had was time, and I read a lot, and I got to a point where I'm not here to just work hard and waiting for retirement day. I'm supposed to be here to find something just beyond that. Like, it just, I don't know, it's just getting nowhere, but...
What are you here for? That's
yeah, I mean, like, you know,
so I can copy. I want to copy what you're here for, because I'm also looking for it for years
already.
Right,
like, before people ask me, like, what's your hobby or what do you like to do, I have to lie. Oh, I like to just... superficial answers, like watching movie or reading books. Come on,
nice.
Like, you know, yeah, I didn't have any like hobbies before because I was so busy around just chasing routine of the day. But once I found painting is my calling, I dare to say this, because it doesn't matter how good I am, I just know this is what I'm supposed to do. It changes everything. It doesn't matter anymore that I am doing this instead of building my career back home. And I believe that this door will lead me somewhere else that I should be and I want to be.
That's amazing. How did you realize, or when also did you realize, that this is the thing, like one of the most big things in your life? Because I think that a lot of us are still looking for that place where you're one with the universe, let's say. How did you find it? Did it happen before you started, after you started?
No. After Croatia trip, I took some like classes, painting classes in local community college just for fun. And I didn't take it seriously. It was just for fun. But then after we left, when you arrive in a new city, new country, first couple of months you're having fun. You're in trouble, exploring, meeting new people, and just for fun. But after that, you kind of slowly coming back to normal daily routine. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Still, you're on the road, but your life keeps going on. I realized that I have too much time, and I didn't want to waste this time of my life. This mm-hmm. is great opportunity for me, and I can do something that I want to do. So I wanted to use this time wisely, and I start painting every day. And I had a mindset that this is my full-time job, even though I get paid.
Wow.
This is my full-time.
Okay.
So I'm going to paint at least 6 to 8 hours full-time.
This is part of your definition now,
yes.
A painter?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes. That's how I started doing it. And painting every day was not something that I forced myself to make myself busy. It just every morning I just wake up and I start sketching and I start, you know, painting, and just I was just over the moon. Like every single day I was so happy. My husband sometimes teased me because I'm always at home and sketching and painting. Like, you are
wow.
traveling, you should go out and explore. I don't want to. Like, sometimes, yeah, I want to go out sometimes, but a lot of times I'm in my mental zone. Painting, it makes me so happy. Like, I'm having a moment of my life.
This
yeah.
Really great. I think that most of us have an activity or a few activities that make us extremely happy,
mm-hmm.
like one with the
right.
universe or something like that. But the tragedy is that most of us don't find this activity. Mm. How can people find this thing that they simply enjoy to a level that they're like, wow, this is my thing?
I've been like that for a long time. I've been longing for finding something that I love to do, but it didn't happen. But the funny thing is, life is so funny because traveling, painting came into my life almost same time, and I didn't ask for it, it just happened. But the thing is, it's kind of a weird story, but I've been having very vivid but incredible, unforgettable dreams, very three-dimensional dreams. And like, I had that dreams so long, and I always wanted to paint them out, even though I didn't have any desire for painting. Like, I'm talking about way before I took painting classes.
Okay.
So I just kind of sloppy sketches of dreams, and I didn't take it seriously. But it's just amazing. I still remember dreams like 7 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And then after Croatia trip, I got inspired. I don't know. I just start taking painting classes, and I had no idea where it led me. Didn't even think about that I would paint every day. Maybe I'm lucky. I didn't look for it, but it just came to me naturally.
No, but you pursued it. The minute it
right,
happened,
right.
you kind
yeah.
of said, okay, let's
right.
try. And then it became a thing. I think we have to try.
Yeah, you gotta kind of get out of your comfort zone and try something new. Like, it amazes me sometimes. For instance, I can be very shy sometimes, so I just like, oh, never mind, I'm not gonna do it. But when you actually getting out of your comfort zone and you actually try, whether it's gonna be successful or not, you learn anyway from failing or success.
Today I go to Thai boxing for the first time in my life. That should be very...
That's great.
Yeah, that'll be great.
Yeah.
Maybe that's my thing. Maybe I just gotta ditch the podcast and the vlog and become a boxer. That'll be
yeah.
amazing. Sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, you never know until you try, so...
Yeah, definitely.
Mm.
That's how we met, by the way, right? You were painting
right,
here
yeah.
in the coffee shop, uh-huh. and I was very curious about this because I also want to start maybe painting, so I said
yeah,
to myself
good.
That,
uh-huh.
yeah.
Cafes are a great place to kind of study people. I love to sketch them. I have to be very tactful, you know, not to be kind of creeper, but
yeah.
anyway, it is fun place, and it, for me, it helps a lot because painting at home can be very lonely and very monastic, and going out, it just changes my scenery. And some people ask me like, hey, what are you doing? And I just got into interesting conversation and make friends. That's great.
Cool. I want to go back to this thing about traveling as a couple. This is interesting. I think most digital nomads are, I don't know if most of them are traveling alone or not, but one of the biggest challenges is the loneliness, right?
Mm-hmm.
The part
mm-hmm.
of traveling alone. So I remember we talked about this, and you told me that you would not travel alone, right?
No.
You would not live this lifestyle on your own?
You know, I used to travel a lot because of my job, and I hated it. Like, you go nice places and there's no one next to you to share the moment. I'm okay with some level of solitude, but the traveling alone, and I don't know, I don't think I can do it. I mean, especially, you know, me and my husband, we've been together over 13 years, so it's kind of out of picture in my head, being alone and traveling. You know what I mean? Like, in my situation, it's hard to imagine. But I know there's a lot of solo travelers, especially female travelers, that they travel all over the world by themselves. Yeah. I admire them. But I don't think I can do that, and I don't want to do that.
Got you. I'm on the other side. I actually can't. I'm trying to imagine myself, like, it's hard for you to imagine yourself traveling alone. It's hard for me to imagine myself traveling with someone. So that's pretty interesting. But surprisingly, most of the couples that I've met actually made the decision before they took to the road. Because you would think that most of them would meet, you know, I'm a nomad, you're a nomad, and they would meet while traveling. But most of them, most of the stable, happy couples, were doing the 9-to-5, maybe like your husband and you, and kind of decided to go at it together. And actually, there was a boiling process also, like you had those 6 months.
Yeah.
Looks like there is something there that of having an advantage of jumping into this after you kind of think about this for a while having a normal lifestyle. So if you sum up this experience until now and the decision to kind of go for it, what would you say? It was a good decision to have the nomadic lifestyle, to jump on this lifestyle?
I would say yes. Yes, for sure. Yes, I'm traveling with my husband full time and I'm painting, not working. Sounds great, right? Yeah, I'm happy. But I guess it's a very predictive answer if I say, I'm happy. But what I'm saying is, like, since we left, I think I'm learning about myself more. I am more comfortable and happier with myself.
That's
even
great.
Though I am not, I know that I'm not a perfect person. This kind of feeling that I never had before.
So you're much happier than what you used to be?
Right.
And also more conscious to yourself than what you used to be?
I'll say I am happier because I am comfortable with just who I am.
That's great.
More like accepting myself. Even though I know that I can't be perfect person that I wish. Just being comfortable yourself makes me happy. And I don't know if it's because we're traveling, I don't know, because I found passion of life, I don't know what it is, but obviously everything has effect on it. And maybe I'm aging and I'm at the point of my life where I find myself, or, you know, happy with myself, I don't know. But definitely, since we left home, I'm more happier in general, happier person, and healthier, like mentally, physically.
That's great.
Yeah, so.
What would you recommend to couples that one of the couples, one person in the couple kind of wants to pursue this lifestyle? Would you, like, and the other one maybe is a little bit afraid, or maybe the two of them are afraid. Would you say to go for it, or would you say to be careful and maybe not go for it?
You know, we don't have a kid, so it was easier for us to decide just because it's the two of us. But I know there's a lot of married couple with kids traveling on the road. I don't know. I think it depends on your will, how much you want to do it. But if your spouse or your girlfriend or boyfriend is not willing to do it like 100% with you, what really convinced me by my husband was that he had a solid plan.
Yeah.
And
it's not like let's do it and figure it out while traveling. Okay.
Me and my husband, we're pretty practical people, so we don't really jump in like some moment we feel great from travel, let's just sell everything. No, I don't think that works.
So basically what you're saying is that it's very important, if you take this decision, to be a little bit of practical and kind of investigate, right? Instead of being hippie mindset of just, hey, let's do it, that's the life we always have.
Well, if you are young and if you can afford it, I think travel is just good for everybody. You would never know what will happen on the road. It's amazing. Things happen, good or bad, but you will learn and it will grow you spiritually, mentally, even physically. So what I want to recommend, plan, research a lot, but don't think too much. Once you set your goal, do it and give yourself like a time limit. You know, I'm going to do it for 3 months or 6 months or even 1 year.
Like agree with your partner that basically even if you want to stop, that you can stop whenever you want and go back.
Yeah, okay. Like give yourself a little bit of room. Just don't make it yes or no. If it doesn't work, I'll go back, you know. That kind of buffer helped me a lot during 6 months where I was considering my husband's suggestion. I always told myself, you know, we can go back if we don't like it. And he agreed that if you don't like it, we'll go back. So I think it just kind of be generous about your plan, but plan tight, if that makes sense. You know
nice.
What I mean? You research
yeah,
a lot.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's my recommendation. And one person is really want to do this, but the other doesn't. Well, talk about what kind of a lifestyle you guys want to have. So that, I mean, me and my husband, we talked a lot. Is this the lifestyle that we really want to have, or accumulating things? And I think we talked about a lot of like what kind of lifestyle we want to have,
like the meaning and
the
goal,
meaning of it, and
deep stuff. I didn't know couples talk about those things.
I mean, we don't talk about it every day, but just time to time, and it makes you think, what do you really want,
instead of kind of going with the flow and just ending up somewhere.
Right, and you don't want to do that. It's a big decision. Selling everything, quit your job, and or, you know, continue your job, but getting out of your neighborhood where you grew up and take off, it's not simple. It's a pretty big decision.
Yeah, it's very active decision.
Very big. So research a lot and plan, but once you have a mind to decide, don't think too much, because if you think too much, nothing gonna happen.
Right.
Nice.
Because it's basically, it's so uncertain that you can't cover all the scenarios. Like
exactly.
If you try to plan
exactly.
too much, right?
Plans supposed to be fall out.
Like I did business plans in my past as a freelancer, and we had a saying, no business plan survives contact with reality.
Right.
But someone says that plans are useless, but planning is crucial. I have more quotes like this, but I'm gonna just take it easy. This sounds like a very positive experience so far.
For me, yeah, and for us.
Now what's the long-term plan? Continue or?
Long-term plan? I like to continue, and I think my husband loves to continue as long as we are healthy. But who knows? I don't think we'll get bored of this lifestyle, but if we get bored about doing this, we might go back. Who knows? I don't know. But we don't have any set date to go back. And
you still enjoy it a lot.
Yeah, we love it.
It's great.
Yeah, we love it. There's times, like I said, you know, you're traveling, but your life still goes on. So there's times that...
Yeah, things happening other than traveling. Yeah.
But I'm very happy. I see my husband is very happy, and I see us as a couple very healthier, happier.
Did you think you're going to be as happy as you are now? Or if you had to take a bet before taking the decision, is it better than what you thought? Is it the same?
Yes.
It's better.
Better than what I thought. Because I was very skeptical, like I said. Even the day we left, I had a lot of thoughts in my head. Like I was not sure. Because, you know, I'm kind of person that I need to experience before I learn it. Very unfortunate, but I need to experience it. And I had no idea. I couldn't picture it. And I was afraid. I was very scared with new adventure. But I think not just because of traveling, but also I found my passion of life. It is just tremendous blessing to me and us, I think.
That's amazing.
Also my husband found his passion of his life as well. CrossFit. He loves CrossFit.
Oh, wow.
So as a couple, we are happier, healthier, and this is more than I expected.
So basically, this lifestyle allows you to experiment a little bit more and also to find your passion. So just what we talked about before, that if someone cannot find their passion, maybe plunging into travel, changing the atmosphere can help them kind of figure out what are the things they're passionate about.
Yes, it can. And I mean, it depends on personal experience level, but I'd say why not? You would never know that what's gonna happen on the road. You might find your lover of life, or you might find your passion of life, but you never know. I mean, who know that I will have an interview with you here, like Chiang Mai, like, you know?
Or that so, I'm going to go to Thai boxing for that. Yeah, right. You're right.
Traveling is great because it opens your eye. Like, you're out of the box of your daily routine and you start seeing new things and it interests you and it kind of leads you the way that you should be. I don't know. I don't want to be sound too poetic, but I think...
Oh, it's a good. It's really good.
I think it kind of opens the possibility for you.
Excellent. So thanks for all the insights. I think sure. We gave a lot of motivation to people to kind of get on the road, try and see what's going on. Great. And where can people find you? If someone wants to be in contact with you, check out the blog. Can you tell us a little bit about where the main points of contact?
I have a website called flyhighoyster.com, so check it out. You can send me an email or you can find me on Facebook, Nomadic Painter.
Oh, cool. That's a good name.
Thank you.
So, Ai-jung, thanks a lot for being with us today.